fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The past year has been a pioneering one of success for Moroccan football. At the senior level, Morocco's national men's team, the Atlas Lions, became the first African team to reach the semifinals of the FIFA World Cup. And Morocco's national women's team, the Atlas Lionesses, is preparing for its debut appearance at the FIFA Women's World Cup. Meanwhile, over the weekend in Rabat, host Morocco lifted its first under-23 Africa Cup of Nations trophy. Prince Nesta has that story and more football news. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. We kick off the weekend roundup with the final results of the Under-23 African Cup of Nations tournament, where host Morocco are crowned champions after beating Egypt 2-1 in an extra time match played at the Prince Moulay Abdellah Stadium in Rabat. The North Africans became only the fourth nation to win the tournament since its launch in 2011. It had previously finished as runners-up in the inaugural tournament, losing 2-1 to Gabon in Marrakesh. Mahmoud Hassan opened the scoring for the young Pharaohs before his night was cut short after being sent off for a reckless challenge on Abdissamad Ezelzouli. Yanis Begrui snatched the equalizer for the Atlas Lions before substitute Osamna Targahline scored from a free kick to secure the win. Egypt will no doubt blame the effects of the red card for the loss. They had not conceded a single goal in the tournament. Both Morocco and Egypt, however, booked their place at next year's Olympic Games scheduled to be held in Paris. Mali also punched the Olympic tickets after securing a 4-3 penalty shootout win against Guinea. Emotions ran high after the match as the Eagles players and officials celebrated their historic victory. This also marks only the second time in Mali's football history that the under-23 side has qualified for the Olympics. The first occasion took place in 2004 when the team reached the quarterfinals in Athens. Moving on to the 2023 Confederation of North Central America and Caribbean Association football, or simply CONCACAF Gold Cup matches. Amari Bell's 51st-minute goal and the first of his international career helped Jamaica secure a 1-0 win against Guatemala in a match that was played in Cincinnati. The Reggae Boys advanced to the CONCACAF semi-finals and will next face Powerhouse Mexico on Wednesday in Las Vegas. The match goal scorer expressed his thoughts on his team's performance.
So it was a great pass. He's got the quality to find me, as he did. And yeah, it was just about the composure in the box. And, you know, I took the opportunity. It's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to get to the semi-final. It's something we set out to do. And, you know, we've achieved that goal. But, you know, we're not going to stop here. When you keep going and going and win a tournament.
Jamaican coach Hamir Halgrimson also assessed his team's performance.
It means a lot, of course. We are still in it and we want to win it like everybody in our position. So Mexico next, and you saw it was a very intense game. It was a lot of tired legs in the end, but I am really proud of the guys. They gave everything, left everything on the pitch, and now we have to find some energy for the next 2 days. With good rest, good sleep, nutrition, and the help from the medical team. So we need to be really smart the next 2 days now. I have to give a lot of credit to the people of Guatemala. It was a fantastic atmosphere today, and a big plus to them to make the atmosphere so great. And then we play Mexico for sure. It's going to be packed with Mexicans. So we are playing away every game, but we are ready for it.
That's Jamaican head coach Hamir Halgrimson speaking after his team's victory over Guatemala in the CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament. Jamaica, who've twice made the Gold Cup final in 2015 and 2017, will be banking on the services of West Ham United's Mikel Antonio, Everton's Demirai Gray, Fulham's Bobby Reid, and Aston Villa's Leon Bailey in the semi-finals match against Mexico, who also secured a 2-0 win against Costa Rica. Oblin Pineda opened the scoring in the second half from a penalty spot before Eric Sanchez sealed the deal late in regulation to send the AT&T Stadium, home of the Dallas Cowboys, into a frenzy. Ismael Diaz's second half hat-trick helped Panama secure a 4-0 win against Qatar in a match that was played at the AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. Edgar Herrera was also on target for the Central Americans, who earned their first Gold Cup semi-final since the 2015 edition. The Los Canaleros will be up against the United States national team, which also registered a 3-2 win against Canada, thanks to shortstopper Matt Turner's penalty-saving heroics in a match that was played in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Arsenal goalkeeper shared his thoughts on the match.
We were tested. We are up a goal, and immediately I think we learned a valuable lesson, and we gave away a penalty, and we stayed resilient. You know, then they get a pretty lucky deflection goal, but we stayed after it. We kept going. We kept moving, and I think we learned a lot about ourselves tonight. We got the goal we needed. And then it was down to us to score the pens and me save one or two. And we got there. And, we're just looking forward to the semifinal now. We always believed. I think that was the thing. We knew that if we kept doing our processes well, we were going to, you know, create chances. And we were opportunistic. Yeah, maybe we got a little bit lucky on the goal. But as you've seen, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Canadian coach John Herdman regretted his team's defeat in the hands of the United States.
Congratulations to the U.S. You know, They kept fighting to the end, like the Canadians, and it was a close fought. Oh God, I'm emotional, to be honest, but yeah, it was a close fought match, and it's the game we wanted. You know, I think coming into this tournament, the players, the staff, the fans, Canada want to play the US more than any team, and it was the type of match. Great environment. The fans in Cincinnati were unbelievable for the US. They just stayed with them the whole time. But really proud of my lads. I thought tonight they dug in. They showed quality at times. I think we were able to test our depth as a Canadian squad and show that there's depth for 2026. There are players that with more opportunity like this can push and hopefully take that next step in their football careers.
US interim coach BJ Callahan also discussed his team's performance.
I thought you watched two really good teams just kind of battle it out. The first half was a little bit slow. It got off to an awkward start and we weren't able to get really any rhythm into the game. The second half, I was really proud of the group. They were able to push and push, and then we had a moment of adversity. But we talk about, you know, learning how to make responses to it. And I was super proud of these guys and how they responded. And the contributions that we got off the bench is again, tremendous.
As for the quick turnaround match coming up against Panama, here's what the 43-year-old had to say about the preparations of his team.
Yeah, I mean, so we've already, on our side, we've already started preparing. We've got a great team, a great staff that'll get these guys recovered. We'll travel well. We'll enjoy tonight, and then we'll get right back to work in the morning.
That's U.S. head coach BJ Callahan after his team secured a penalty shootout win against Canada to qualify for the CONCACAF Gold Cup semifinals. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. The U.S. women's national soccer team defeated Wales Sunday 2-0 in a friendly Women's World Cup warm-up match played in San Jose, California. Trinity Rodman scored the goals for the USA in the 76th and 87th minutes. She's one of the players to watch at the upcoming Women's World Cup. Trinity is the daughter of former basketball star Dennis Rodman, and she'll be making her Women's World Cup debut. Ahead of the match against Wales, the USA's head coach, Vlatko Andonovski, announced that midfielder Lindsey Horan and striker Alex Morgan will be the team's co-captains during the 2023 Women's World Cup. The USA is bidding to become the first men's or women's team in history to win three consecutive world titles. Morgan says the team realizes it will face challenging opposition.
I think it's tough for us to put even more target on our backs by saying we're favored or not. So I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we already have a target on our back coming in as reigning World Cup champs. But there's some teams that have done incredibly well over the last 4 years, have made a name for themselves to compete for this trophy. And so I think I'm very optimistic with our chances with this roster.
Alex Morgan and the U.S. team will be based in New Zealand for group play during the Women's World Cup. The USA kicks off its World Cup campaign July 22nd when it plays Vietnam in Auckland, New Zealand.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
In African athletics, Kenya has named its team for next month's World Championships, as we hear now from Samson Omale.
Kenya has named a strong team that will represent the country at this year's World Championships, slated for the 19th to the 27th of August in Budapest, Hungary. A total of 57 athletes, 32 men and 25 women will fly the Kenyan flag in Budapest. Faith Kipyegon will be defending her title in the 1,500 meters. Another athlete hoping to defend his title will be Emmanuel Korea in the 800 meters gold. Men's 100 meters African champion Ferdinand Omanyala says he's looking forward to the challenge in Budapest.
The last 3 weeks has been putting in a lot of work, and for me, running 9.8 is a bit of a surprise because we weren't expecting that, because we've been doing a lot of loading training. So that means the target of running 9.6 is close.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi guys, I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Athletics Federation of Nigeria held trials in Benin City, where it selected athletes for next month's World Championships. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Benin City.
Athletics Federation of Nigeria says it's impressed with trials held to select athletes that will represent the country at this year's World Athletics Championships. The championships will take place in Budapest, Hungary, from 19th to 27 August at the brand new National Athletics Center. Commodore Masheye Nesiama, retired, is a member of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. He says though the final roster of Team Nigeria has not been made, the federation is optimistic of a fine outing in Budapest.
I believe we will have something good. The extent of the goodness, we'll watch it over the next couple of weeks, because the season is still on, the international circuit is still going on, so we'll be able to now watch the athletes that we select to see how they'll perform. Right now, the selection is not concluded. There's still time towards the end of the month to be able to decide that.
Gabriel Opuama, the president of Nigerian Coaches Association, says Team Nigeria has bright prospects in the relay events at the Budapest Championships.
So far, so good. I think Nigeria has a very formidable team this year, with the number of sprinters that have run sub-10s. We stand a very good chance in relays. And personally, I would say we stand a very good chance in the mixed relays as well, because we have good boys returning 44-45 seconds in the 400 meters. And the number of people we have running 44-45s now shows our team is going to really run out to get something at this World Championship.
Opuana says, apart from the known athletes like Toby Amusan, world record holder in the women's 100 meters hurdles, and Ese Brume, Commonwealth gold medalist in long jump, Nigeria has other young athletes that can do well at the championships. Chukwe Bukayo Nkechi, captain of Team Nigeria, an African short put champion, says his outings this year has been good.
So far, my throws have been very consistent at a high level, and I've been throwing over 21 meters since January, so that bodes very well for the World Championships. The national championships that we just concluded were under some tough conditions, but I still managed a mark that was just under the qualifying standard for the World Championship. So that bodes very well for my performance come August 18th in Hungary.
Shade Olatoye is a female Nigerian athlete who qualified for the shot put event at the Budapest Championships. She says she is used to opponents she will meet at the World Athletics Championships.
Most of all the girls that I've competed against, I competed with them in the collegiate system in college when I was at Ohio State. So I'm very used to this high caliber competitions, being able to go to Commonwealth and place fourth there and competing against, you know, Cameron Rogers and a lot of the same girls who I competed against. So I'm used to that elite competition.
The Athletics Federation of Nigeria says some athletes will participate in international events to meet qualifying time needed to participate at the World Athletics Championships. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Benin City, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Ashley Anumba and I throw discus. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ashley. And thanks to Iron Mike Mbonye for that report. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. Check out VOAAfrica.com. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hasiba Boumerka, Algeria's 1992 Olympic champion in the women's 1500 meters. Boumerka is celebrating her 55th birthday on this Monday. Her Olympic triumph in Spain 31 years ago was Algeria's first gold medal at the Olympic Games. She also won two world titles at the 1500 meters distance. Boumerka's gold medal winning performances did not always give her positive attention. She was frequently criticized by Muslim fundamentalist groups in Algeria who thought she showed too much of her body when racing. Boumerka received death threats and was forced to move to Europe to train. But on this July 10th, we say happy birthday, Hasiba Boumerka, Algeria's 1992 Olympic champion.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-minute VOA newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Wimbledon tennis, Tunisian star Ons Jabeur has a big round of 16 match scheduled Monday against two-time Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitova of the Czech Republic. Ahead of the match, Jabir said she knows Kvitova will be a very tough opponent.
I'm going to do my best to be ready 100%. I know the next match, I need to be focused. I need to be calm. I need to believe more in myself that I can beat someone like Petra. She plays amazing. She plays very fast.
Golf. The Austrian Sepp Straka has won the John Deere Classic Tournament in Silvis, Illinois. George McNeely reports from Silvis.
As the Concert on the Course series plays on with Blake Shelton performing for the second time in his career, 30-year-old Sepp Straka is a winner on the PGA Tour, capturing the John Deere Classic by a two-shot margin.
I was in 130-something place after the first round and ended up winning. You know, you just can't ever really count yourself out because you could just get hot any moment.
Quite a week for Straka, who began with the second-worst opening round by a winner here, battling back from an 11-shot deficit. And he thoroughly proved himself a closer once again, firing a 9-under par 62 Sunday, breaking a 41-year-old record for best final round by a John Deere Classic winner that dates back to the late Payne Stewart's victory in 1982.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah, I knew somebody was going to make a push today. The birdies are out there. The wind was down a little bit compared to yesterday. And yeah, thankfully, I had a really good ball striking day and had a hot putter going. So I just tried not to think about any of the situation too much because I was so far ahead of the leaders and just try to keep making birdies.
What does it feel like to finish early and go to the driving range and wonder for a while?
It's stressful. It's very stressful because at that point, it's out of your hands. You know, when you're on the course, obviously you're really nervous, but you have control of the situation. And then when you're just sitting there, you kind of feel helpless. So once I got on the range and started warming up for a potential playoff, I started feeling a little better. And yeah, thankfully didn't need that playoff.
In your wildest dreams, did you ever anticipate being a widely successful opening act for Blake Shelton?
Is that what they're all here for? I didn't even know he was playing, to be honest with you. I knew there was a concert. I didn't know it was Blake Shelton's.
So while Straka collects a $1.3 million payday, finishing in a tie for second place, two shots back at 19 under par, third round leader and fellow University of Georgia Bulldog, Brendan Todd.
If you told me when I teed it up that I shot 3 under and tied the guy I was playing with, you know, I would have thought I had a pretty good chance to win. So obviously Sepp went out there and played an unbelievable round. Hats off to him. And I'm really happy for him, a friend of mine.
Todd in the final pairing Sunday with Alex Smalley, who went one better on his scorecard with a 4-under par 67.
Wanted to do what I was focused on, and I felt like I did that pretty well today. And if it wasn't enough, then it wasn't enough. And, you know, Sepp deserves to win with a 62. That's incredible playing.
Alex Smalley, who finishes in a tie for second place with Brendan Todd, while Sepp Straka captures the 52nd John Deere Classic. From TPC Deer Run, for the sunny side of sports, I'm George McNeely in Silvis, Illinois.
Thanks, George. Former Chelsea star and two-time African Footballer of the Year, Didier Drogba, recently kicked off a campaign to raise awareness about fake agents who take advantage of young players, especially in Africa. In this Encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. For years, young footballers have fallen prey to big money schemes by fake agents who peddle false promises of fame and fortune. Players and their families are often conned into paying large sums of money for opportunities in the top leagues in Europe that don't materialize. And the scam is particularly widespread in developing countries across Africa. Former Chelsea star Didier Drogba announced he's partnered with Global Soccer Players Union FIFPro and the International Labor Organization with the mission to protect young African players from agent exploitation. And in an animated campaign video, Drogba has a warning. Be careful who you trust.
Yes, you play well. He offers you a trial at a club abroad. He tells you he knows you'll get a contract because you're that good. All you have to do is pay the agent and all your dreams come true. Not so fast. Are you sure you can trust this person? Some of our friends paid their entire family's savings, everything they had, but they never played abroad. Instead, they were left stranded at an airport or in a shabby space under a stadium with 20 others, or living under a bridge, or even thrown in jail in Asia. And I'm not talking about one player, but thousands just like you, with the same hopes and dreams, have been cheated and left with nothing. Please, I need you to hear this. Be very careful with who you trust. Never trust a person who wants your money. And before you commit to anything, you must contact your player union. I don't want you to be the next.
Thief Pro recently surveyed over 200 male and female players from 7 African countries: Botswana, Cameroon, DR Congo, Ghana, Kenya, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. And the survey found that more than 70% had been approached by a fake agent who promised to help them move to another club. More than half were offered a trial but did not receive one. And over 40% of the players contacted never received a contract that they were prepared to sign. Thief Pro revealed that in the worst case scenario, many players find themselves stranded abroad without money to return home. And Drogba says eager young players are most at risk.
I want to say something. And this goes to every football players. Your best agent is not the guy you will trust. The best agent you can have is yourself and your performances. This never lies. So the more you perform, the more clubs are coming to watch you play. So this is something that we should not forget. It's your performance that gets the attention and of the clubs or of good agents. Then you have to check if he's listed in the FIFA agents list that will be available from the 1st of October. I think this is how it should work, but we really keen, I mean, discussing more about it with you and find solutions for you to impact the community more.
You just heard Drogba mention that on October 1st, every working football agent must be licensed by FIFA. The new regulation has been put in place to filter out fake agents. And Drogba says that same vigilance must extend beyond FIFA and football federations. Didier Drogba is one of the most successful African players in Premier League history. The former Ivory Coast international scored 164 goals for Chelsea and clinched 4 league titles, 4 FA Cups, 3 League Cups, and the Champions League with the club. The 2-time Premier League Golden Boot winner posted a Twitter message about his newly launched campaign that read, "This partnership with FIFA Pro Africa and the ILO appealed to me because we educate and empower young players who will no longer be fooled by fake agents. Africa needs young, talented players to grow up in the continent." Didier Drogba concludes that with the help of federations, he hopes to create a better environment for players that stay in their countries to make a living from their football career. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the July 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.